Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I could get really risky and really ugly. I'm just a little off kilter tonight for a few reasons probably, but so just bear with me in my off humor, I suppose, tonight. I want to tell you a little bit about what we're going to do tonight, and we're going to look at the Word here in just a minute. For those of you that have not been with us, I want to welcome those that are streaming and watching from the comfort of home or out of state or wherever you might be. Thank you for joining us. If you have not been here in the last several weeks, we have gone on a journey. We started really in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we just began to expand and challenge our thinking concerning the gifts of God's Spirit. And we have spent several weeks just establishing things that God's Word has taught us about the gifts of God's Holy Spirit. And what we're talking about primarily is the manifestation gifts, the nine power gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, tongues, interpretations of tongues, signs, wonders, miracles, faith, healing. We've been talking about those things, and we've demonstrated, we've experimented, we've done all kinds of different things to step out and see what God's Word tells us to do. We're commanded in God's Word not to just be hearers of the Word, but to be doers. And so what we've tried to do is we've tried to create an environment for the last couple months where we're not afraid to step out and try things we've never done before, and to trust God that what He says in His Word is true. And so tonight what we're going to do in way of doing that is what we've already been doing, worshiping the Lord, but celebrating. I had the good fortune of almost 30 years ago, it'll be 30 years in June, of marrying into the Morrison family. And they celebrate. And they celebrate everything. And Cheryl is amazing at this. It doesn't matter what it is, it gets celebrated. It doesn't matter if you finished a quarter at school and you got B's or C. It doesn't matter. You've accomplished something and we celebrate. And we have family lunch every Sunday and we get together. And if there's any kind of an occasion that can be celebrated, we celebrate it. And I've learned something over the 30 years that celebrating is good. Would you agree? Celebrating is a good thing, and God likes it when we celebrate. And so we need to celebrate, and we need to celebrate what we've learned from God's Word and some of the things that we've learned from God's Word. And so I'm not going to go back and review all of the things that we've talked about. If you weren't here, you can certainly listen to those. You can download the notes and the messages and catch right back up to us. And although we're celebrating tonight, we're going to continue talking about the Holy Spirit for the next few weeks, all the way up until Easter. But I want to remind us of a couple things that I think are very important and very pivotal, and then tell you what I'm expecting that we're going to do tonight. We're going to share some testimonies tonight. And none of you have been prompted to do that. None of you have been called beforehand to say, would you share a testimony? And sometimes that's good, sometimes that's not so good. Sometimes it's not so good because we have to be spontaneous, and we don't like spontaneity necessarily. And sometimes it's not so good because some people feel better when they write out a testimony. But the power of a testimony is supernatural. The power of a testimony and what God has done in your life is supernatural. Why? Because it happened. Whether it happened in you or whether it happened through you, it is what God has done through you. And it's a power of God's Spirit working inside of you. And when you share it, you testify of that. And I'm going to tell you how we're going to do that here in just a few minutes. But I just want to remind you of some realities as we go into this. We've called this series Authorized. And I'm just going to read to you the definition again. Because remember, we talked about that we are authorized to move in the power of God's Spirit. God's Spirit lives within us, and it's not just living within us to do nothing. God didn't send His Holy Spirit to live inside of us to do nothing. He sent His Holy Spirit to live inside of us to be able to move and work in and through us. And so we titled this series Authorized, and by definition, here's what that word means. It means given or endowed with authority. So we have authority. We've been authorized with authority. What authority? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. So the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus out of the grave, that's the same power that lives within us. And Jesus transferred that authority to us when he died. And he said, I'm going to do a transfer of accounts, and that power of the Holy Spirit that resided in me now resides in you. So it means given or endowed with authority. It's an authorized agent. You're an authorized agent. I am an authorized agent. I am duly sanctioned. And so that's what we've been talking about for the last several weeks. I was thinking about this in military terminology. And I was thinking about it, and then I'm going to read to you from the book of Acts. And here's what I was thinking about. There are times in life when you lose the battle. And if we're just honest with ourselves, there are battles that get lost. When you love Jesus with all of your heart and you're committed to his word and his way, you lose the battle sometimes. We're not going to lose the war in the end, but there's times that you're going to lose the battle. I saw a battle lost this week, and it's been tragic, and it's been horrible. And walking through it with the people that were directly involved, and the battle was lost. There was a battle that was lost, but the war will not be lost. The war will be won, and the reason that the war will be won is when we understand that we have been empowered with weapons of warfare. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And part of the weaponry that we have is the gifts of God's Spirit. We have the gifts of God's Spirit that reside on the inside of us. And what any good army is going to try to do against another army is get them to lay down their arms and get them to lay down their weapons. And so we've talked about the gifts of God's Spirit. And so now what we need to do as we celebrate is we need to be reminded, let's not lay them down. Let's not lay them down so that the enemy keeps winning battles in our lives. And when we get to the book of Acts, and I'm going to read several verses to you from the book of Acts, and then we're going to transition into sharing some testimonies, and I'm going to tell you how we do that. In the book of Acts, we begin from the very beginning of the book of Acts with instruction from Jesus about waiting to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. After that has happened, which it does in the very first two chapters of the book of Acts, Peter and John are on their way to the temple, and we've already looked at the story, so I don't want to go back into the detail of it, but Peter and John are on the way to the temple. There's a beggar at the temple gates, and he wants money. And Peter and John say, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And so the man is miraculously and supernaturally healed through the gifts of God's Spirit that lived on the inside of Peter and John, who were just brand new at understanding this whole thing. Probably days. Think about that. Days. Days from understanding that they had been empowered with the Holy Spirit. Now they're seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is being released in and through their lives. Men get upset about it. Right away, people start getting upset about it. And I want to read starting in verse 19 of chapter 4, and it's not on a PowerPoint, and it's nowhere except it is in your Bible. So if you have your Bible, that's the best place to find it. Acts chapter 4, verse 19. Peter and John have done this. They've prayed for that man. This man is miraculously healed. And now the religious people get upset about it. And they recognize that Peter and John were both ordinary and unschooled men. We've already talked about that. But then they go on and they strategize what they're going to do to quench the Spirit of God or quench the power of God. So they decide, we've got to lock them up. We got to put them in jail. We can't allow them to have this influence in the world. Hear me when I say this. The enemy of your soul is going to want to keep the gifts of God locked up within you. He's going to want to keep the gifts of God locked up within you because the gifts of God flowing in and through your life are what are going to set the captives free. So the enemy wants to keep those locked up within you. And so when we get to Acts chapter 4, here's what we begin to see. We begin to see defining moments with the early church. And I would say this to all of us. Once you've learned about something and once you've been empowered with knowledge, you now become responsible for that knowledge. We've been talking about the manifestation gifts of the Spirit. So we've been equipped with knowledge. So what does that mean now? Now we become responsible for the knowledge that we have. So Peter and John have been locked up, and the men think that's what we needed to do, lock them up and then no problems. in verse 19 of chapter 4, here's what Peter and John say in response to the men saying, don't talk about the Spirit of God. Don't let the Spirit of, don't do this anymore. Don't do this anymore. That's basically what was going on. Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help but speak about what we have seen or heard. That's why testimonies are so important. That's why I want to hear some testimonies. We want to hear some testimonies because we have to speak about what we've seen or what we've heard. That's exactly what Peter and John were doing. We saw this happen. We saw the man healed, and so now we must speak about it. And that's testimony. That's what testimony is. That's the power of testimony. We have to speak about what we've seen or heard. After further threats, so the men, they said, we're going to speak about what we've seen or heard. More threats come. Anytime you decide you're going to step out and be used by God, the enemy is going to threaten you. The enemy is going to threaten you. Who do you think you are? Why do you think you can lay hands on a sick person? Why do you think you can do that? And the enemy is a bully, and he's intimidating, and he'll try to do that. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So they're telling them about the threats and the things that had come their way. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. Sovereign Lord, they said, you have made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David. Then he goes on to say this in verse 28. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. If you have your own Bible and not a pew Bible, that would be a good thing to mark up in your Bible. They, meaning Peter and John, what did Peter and John do? When they prayed for that beggar, what did they do? They did what your power, meaning God's power, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. God had already decided that he was going to do something in that blind beggar. It was already his will. They just cooperated with the will of God, because they would not hold in what God had done on the inside of them. We should live the same way. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand and heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Remember, we talked about all of this that we do when we allow God to move through us in the gifts of the Spirit. We do it all in Jesus' name. It's not in our own strength and it's not in our own power. We do it all in Jesus' name. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God more boldly. So right in the beginning of Acts, after God had poured out his Spirit and the men of God, the women of faith, women of God began to move out in boldness, what happened? The enemy came with his threats and an intimidation to silence God's people. I can tell you that's what the enemy is going to want to do in your life. We've talked about the manifestation gifts. Now you can't be silent. You can't be silent. You've got to partner and cooperate with God and let God move in and through your life. There's a reason. There's a reason that we learned about that. There's a reason that God taught us about these things. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, I don't want you to be ignorant about such things. So he began to describe to them specifically the manifestation gifts. So what we've talked about for the last several weeks is let's get empowered with the truth of God's word, which we've done on Wednesday nights, and then let's practice it. Like we would practice anything. Like we would practice learning how to ride a bike or learning how to do anything for the very first time. We created a safe environment here so that we could do it. We talked about the fact that in some places that gifts are not taught because people are worried about the abuses of the gifts. That's silly and it's unbiblical. We need to walk and move in the power of God's Spirit because the church was empowered to reach a crippled world in 2,000 years ago in the book of Acts. The people of God are being empowered today to reach a sin-crippled world. The world is sin-crippled, and the answer flows through the gifts and the manifestation of the power of God. All of that I pray would resonate in our hearts. And I can tell you this, that there's a great strategy of the enemy to silence you. To silence you and say, yeah, we learned about it, and yeah, we heard about it, and yeah, it was pretty good, and we learned some things. But now we've got to walk out, and we've got to let confidence rise and come to the surface in our lives. And so, here's what I said to the worship team, and here's what I would like us to do, as we continue to flow with worship and just let God move in our midst tonight. Here's what I'd like to do. They would not be kept silent, either the things that they had heard or the things that they had seen. And Christy mentioned even during our worship set that some amazing things have happened in your life or through what you've stepped out and believed God for and done in the last several weeks. And we need to hear about it. We need to hear about it, because when we hear about it, that testimony builds our faith. And that's what spurred on the early church to grow. The believers got together and they shared what they had in common. And as they shared what they had in common, their faith rose up. And then when they went out, they were able, with faith that rose up on the inside of them, to declare to other people. So here's what I'd like to challenge us to do. And I know there has to be a little bit of order to this. And so here's what I'd like for us to do. I'd like for you, if you have a testimony, and let me just walk you through the steps of how I want us to be able to do this tonight. If you have a testimony, if you have something that God's done specifically in you or through you in these last several weeks in the area of what we're talking about, the gifts of God's Spirit, the manifestation gifts of God's Spirit, I'd like you, when I tell you, I'd like for you just to come forward. And we're going to have a microphone over here, and Scott's going to be at this microphone, and just like you to share briefly with him what God has done, and then allow you to share that with us as a body. And the reason that we're going to do it that way is because we want to hear the highlights of what God has done. And that can be done in 30 seconds or in a minute or two. And when we do it that way, we give opportunity for some more testimonies. So we've been talking about the gifts, we've been talking about how God has worked and how God has moved. And now we want to testify of the goodness of God and what God has done. So in just a minute, I'm going to pray that you would be so bold and confident and unselfish. I don't mean that disrespectfully, but if you have a testimony, you need to share it, because others need to hear it. Their faith may need to be built. They may have lost a battle this week, like I did. And their faith may need to be built. And so I want to encourage you to do it in 30 seconds to a minute or two. And that way we can give opportunity for others to do it. And there may be two, and there may be four, and there may be eight. I don't know. But we just want to share some testimonies, and whichever ones we don't get to tonight, we've encouraged you to write them down. I want to hear about what God's done in your life in the last several weeks. So I just want to pray, and I want to pray that we will be so bold as to testify. We're not going to keep locked up in us. They tried to lock Peter and John up. They hoped if they could just lock them up, the message of God's truth and God's power would not go up. The enemy wants to keep us locked up with the lies. Don't say it. It's silly. It's not that big of a deal. Whatever lies he tries to tell us. And so I just want to pray for that boldness, and then just encourage you to, if you have one, just to get in line right here, and we'll just, I don't know that I have this all figured out. That's what I said in the beginning, the service. I don't know that I have this all figured out. I don't exactly know what it's going to look like, but we know we have a safe environment here. The Spirit of God is. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much, God, that you instructed us with the gentle hand of a loving Father and the gentle voice of your instruction by giving us your word. And God, we have your word now, not just so that we can have a head knowledge of what your Bible says, but that we can have a heart knowledge to connect what it says to what we do. And God, we understand that we're called to represent you and to be your ambassadors. And Lord, you use us in amazing ways, and we need to hear about those things. And Lord, it may seem small in our eyes, but God, it's not small. It's not small. From praying for somebody to giving a word of encouragement that says God loves you. Whatever it is, God, you use those things in amazing ways. So, Lord, we don't want to be selfish, and we want to share by celebrating the goodness of God and rejoice in your faithfulness. So continue to guide us through the remainder of this service. We pray, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Brandon's there and playing a little bit of background music, and maybe he'll lead us in a chorus. But I just want to encourage you to, let's just all stand up. Then it doesn't feel or seem awkward or weird when and if somebody is walking down the aisle. But if you feel like you have a testimony and something that God's done, just want to encourage you to walk down the aisle over here and just make your way down over here. And we just want to give, room for you to be able to do that. And it always is, who's going to be the first one in the room to do it? It's always that way when you're in a room. Who's going to be the first one to do it? And so,
Pastor,
I don't know who that is, but let's go ahead and just step out, okay?
My name is Jason. I accepted Jesus into my life about November of last year. Thank you. And since that day, everything has changed, from my marriage to relationships to my work. Just continue to be amazed at how amazing things can change when you turn to God.
See without fear. I have been so fearful all of my life, fearful of everyone and everything. God spoke to me one day and said, I don't want you afraid anymore. And a doctor diagnosed me with breast cancer, and I was really afraid about that. And God took that fear away. He also took away the cancer. Then I have not been able to see very well here lately. So he set me up with an eye doctor, a front of the eye surgeon who said I had glaucoma starting, and a back of the eye surgeon for retinal edema. And yesterday I called like Walmart to find out how much the eye drops were gonna cost me. And they said $216. And I thought, for a month's supply of eye drops? And so I said, well, I can't afford that. So then I went to the neighborhood McDonald's, and there's a good Christian woman in there, older than I am, and she said, why don't you just step over to King Supers and ask them if they have a cheaper form of the eye drop. So I said, well, thank you, Neola. So I went over there, and they said, well, it'll be $120. I thought, well, sold, you know. But I was still thinking about it. I went back over and was talking to Neola again, and that woman said that God told her to give to me. So she wrote me out a $130 check, which I deposited in the bank. But I got cash from the bank and came home, and I went and got the prescription filled. It was only $6 for 2 months.
Okay, ministering Jesus' love is
a blast, you guys. A friend and I were at Starbucks, and my friend was facing the center of the room, and I was facing her towards the wall. But she noticed a girl in the corner sitting with a friend, and the girl was crying. And so my friend's heart was just breaking for this young woman who was basically a teenager, maybe 20. And so my friend went over to her and started ministering, and I went to her friend. Turned out that the girl that was crying had just lost a friend. She had died. And so my friend was ministering to her, and I was ministering to her friend. But we developed a friendship with these girls. At that moment, it didn't continue, but we developed a friendship. It's easy to minister God's love. They're hurting. They don't say no when you say, "Can I pray for you?" So let me encourage you to do that.
That's good. That's good.
So my testimony, probably in the last several weeks, maybe months, God's been kind of putting it on my heart that when there's a conflict or when there's something that needs resolved, instead of trying to do it in my own strength and power or reason, to give that to Him and to pray for the particular person or the situation that the conflict involves, and to turn it over to Him. And that was a big step, because I was used to just trying to solve it my own power and strength and to work my way through it. So I started doing that with my family, and instead of trying to argue or debate or reason or rationalize through some of these issues, now we get together as family, we hold hands, we pray, and we ask God to supernaturally intervene. And so then that's kind of extended beyond family, not to work situations and other aspects, where if there's a problem with a coworker, instead of getting frustrated or trying to argue or go to your boss and get things sometimes even worse, I usually just pray for them. And in every case, it may take time, but God will show up and He'll remedy that situation. So. Amen.
So a few days ago, Jen was complaining that her jaw was hurting for a couple of days and that it was getting worse with like a grinding. And I had been quietly praying in my head, you know, "Jesus, please heal her." And, you know, finally it was God was just like, "Jeff, put your hand there and pray out loud to heal her." And so I prayed in the name of Jesus Christ for her jaw to be healed. And within minutes it was. There was no more pain.
This is awesome. I love what God's doing. A bunch of people have been going on treasure hunts, and so I went on my second one, and the group was praying, asking the Lord who his treasure was, and we were writing down clues and so forth. And a 14-year-old girl, she got the word depression, and I got the word sadness. And my 11-year-old son, his thigh started hurting really bad, and it wasn't hurting before, and he said, "I think, you know, that this is God." And so we wrote that down. And I had the master list, so I circled those three things. In addition, there was another 20 things. But I circled those because we had them in common, or they were strong. And so then Samuel's leg was still hurting. And he said, "Mom, it really hurts." And I said, "Well, let's just pray." So we said, "Lord, we will obey you. We will go and we will try to find whoever has this leg issue. And we just are committed to obeying you. Please make the pain go away." And the pain went away instantly. So that was really cool. So we're out. Our faith's built. We're like so excited. Oh, and God gave us King Supers. Panera Bread was on the list. So we went to Panera. And we went other places too. Actually, we were about to go back to the group and we were done. We're walking out and Samuel says, "Mom, I think we're supposed to go back into Panera Bread and pray for that lady in the corner with the white shirt." And I'm like, "Are you sure we're going to be late?" And he said, "I really think so." And I'm like, "Okay, let's do it." So we went back in, and there was this lady, and we said, "We believe that you're God's treasure and that He wants to bless you. Is there anything we can pray for you for?" And she said, "I'd like for you to pray for my husband." She points across the table. She says, "Is that okay?" And we're, "Absolutely." And so she said, "He's just had so much sadness So I get all excited. And I bring out my little piece of paper and I said, look, you're God's treasure. Look at that. Sadness is circled. God wanted to come and tell you how much he loves you and he wants to take the sadness away. And then I said, does the sadness turn into depression sometimes? And he said, oh yeah. And I said, look, depression is circled. That's the word that God gave one of the girls. And so he's tearing up. And then we talked a little bit more. And then I said, do you have anything physical? And he said, well, I'm about to have hip surgery and I am in tons of pain. And I said, where? And he points to the exact spot where Samuel pointed to. And I was like, Samuel, tell him. And he goes, when we were praying about who was God's treasure, my legs started burning from my knee to my thigh right in here. And so God just showed up. Samuel started praying for the man. His name was Tom. And he started to shake. And Samuel got all hot. And God's presence came on him. And I get so excited, I forget to ask him if they're healed. He was probably healed, and I believe he was. But anyway, we hugged him, we just loved on him, and we just knew it was a divine appointment, and it was awesome.
Yes.
Hi, I'll try to give you some background about my experience. I was at church 2 weeks ago and listening to Pastor George talk about giving and how God will reward that tithe that you put forth. And I work on commission, and I had negotiated with some people a commission to work with them on the sale of a property. And it turned out that they lost about $34,000 on this deal. And in negotiating with them on the commission, I was trying to give them something that I thought would be very fair. And when it was all said and done, when I got my check from them, they had given me five times what I had given to a family that was in need. And I was overwhelmed, because sometimes when you give with the expectation of getting something in return, and that isn't the way to give. The way to give is from the heart. I was led by the Holy Spirit to do it. And when I looked at that, I just said, thank you, Jesus, because you are the great provider. And praise God.
My name is Jared, and God is been putting on my heart a passion for him, which is something that I've prayed for a long time, and it's something that I'd really encourage you guys to live your life, not in phases, but live every day of your life for Christ. I know I lived my life in phases where I'd go to work, I'd come home, go to church on Sunday, and everything was broken up, but I've really had that passion lately. God has also given me something in a creative way that I can express my passion for him. And lately I've been doing, just really doing a lot of, getting a lot into photography. And probably about a month or so, a month or two back, I was up on top of the Continental Divide. And it was one of these evenings when the sun was going down and it looked like God had actually painted the sky, taken out a brush stroke, and he'd done the orange and the reds and the yellows and painted the whole sky. It was just amazing standing there, and it was so amazing that all these other people stopped and they pulled over and we were all just standing there looking at this sunset, and somebody behind me said, that's God's creation. And I said, it is. And I turned around and it is. And I said, this is not just a random act. This is the hand of God. And everybody in this group was like, we're all shaking our heads like, yes, we can't deny this. This is God's creation. So, I really love to go out there, and I love to photograph, and I really like to capture, you know, what God has created for us. And I took this one picture just about a week ago, and I added this Bible verse, and it was of these bighorn sheep on top of Mount Evans. And it was a silhouette with the sunset. And for some reason, this person came to my mind. I don't know why. It was a coworker. And so at work, I sent it to him at a corporate office. I'm not sure why I just sent it to him. So he replied back and he's like, hey, thank you for that picture sent. It was just awesome. It was exactly what I needed. It was a statement saying that, you know, that this is God, know God. And it was just that the creation of God. And, you know, he said, I needed that at this moment. I really needed that. Thank you for sending it to me. So I'm learning, and we can all do that. Find little ways just to profess our faith and to show, you know, the glory of God in everything we do.
Hi, my name's Emily. Oh, sorry.
That's okay. No, that's okay.
Recently, I feel like God has given me strength. Sorry, I'm about to cry.
It's okay.
My brother passed away. I just feel like God has given my family strength. And he's held us all together, so we're now closer. I don't know what else to say.
She said she doesn't
know what else to say. Let's just pray for Emily. Extend your hands out. Father, we thank you for Emily. And Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you're the God of comfort. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to minister to her. God, that you just show up in supernatural ways and you just make yourself real and known in the quiet times. And Father, just in the times when she and the rest of her family needs to sense your presence, Jesus. Be your ever-present strength and supernatural provision in every way, God. Thank you for this precious little girl. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, isn't it so good to be here together? The Lord gave me two words first from his word. Well, one is from his word, that this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. And that he's going to be doing such amazing things through this place out into the world, and that, you know, the song, greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Absolutely. And we're going to do it through his power and his grace. So the night that we were, I think maybe you taught on words of wisdom and knowledge. And then we were told to get into groups. And I was sitting there next to my husband thinking, oh boy, okay, Lord, I really want you to use me. But anyway, I got a word before I even got into my group. And I thought, well, I don't know. So we got into the groups and we were waiting and quiet, and everything was very quiet in my group for quite a while. And so I finally said, okay, Lord. And I spoke out the word, which I won't necessarily share right now. When I spoke that word, the person next to me burst into tears. And out of that came the opportunity to pray for restoration for our family. And I know that God is doing a great work in that family right now. I'm absolutely positive of it. And then tonight, as we were worshiping, my right hand, it just got from within. It was heat, so hot. It was like emanating heat. And so I told Scott, I said, well, my right hand, I think there's something happening here. Somebody wants prayer for healing, I'd be happy to pray. And so he said, well, pray for Anna, because Anna, come here, Anna, sweet little darling. So Anna, what happened to your wrist?
I fell down the stairs and I fractured it.
And so Scott said, well, Colleen, let's use that hand. So I said, okay. So we began to pray, and what's happening?
It starts to feel better.
So God is definitely healing. Can you move your hand?
Yeah.
Let's see. How does it feel?
Good.
Yay, God! Hallelujah!
Yeah.
This is probably from like 3 weeks ago, and I was shopping in Westminster, and so I just walked into a shopping center and I saw a guy with crutches, and like I wasn't feeling, I don't know, spiritual, really, like, I'm going to go pray for people. But anyway, so I walk in there and I see him, and I thought about it, but I didn't talk to him. So I got my little cart and I go down one aisle and I'm shopping, and then he kind of comes up and he works there. And so he hobbles up to me, and so I start talking to him. I'm like, well, this is kind of easy because he came to me. So I'm like, okay. So I just asked, you know, what happened to your leg? And he's a hockey player. And he was like, you know, skating down to take a shot. And the defender kind of like slashed at him. So he, you know, he's skating as fast as he can. He falls down. He made the goal. He was happy about that. And he's like going, got slashed. He's going head first. He kind of spins around, you know, and puts his feet up against the boards, hits it real hard, and shatters his tibia. So I was like, wow. And but he was excited. He scored. So I said, well, what, you know, what's going on? He's like, well, the doctor said I can't play for a while. And I said, well, what's your pain at? He's like, it's pretty much between a 4 and 7 all the time. And it was his right leg. So I'm like, okay. So I said, well, I'm a Christian. I believe that God is the God of miracles. And I said, is it cool if I just pray for you? And like, I was so not feeling too much. Like sometimes I'm like, I feel like God's totally gonna do something. And this was not one of those times. So anyway, I'm just like, all right. So I get down and just put my hand on his leg and I just start praying. And I don't even remember what I said. It was like a 30-second prayer. And honestly, I wasn't I wasn't thinking much was going to happen, but I was just doing it, you know. And so I finished and I stand up and we start talking about something. And then he's like, you know, he was just kind of still helping me shop. He kind of wouldn't leave. I'm like, okay. And so then I was like, well, can you test it out? And he's like, okay. And so like, you know, he's got his crutches and he's got his right leg. And so he, you know, he uses his crutches and just kind of takes a slight step, you know, little. And then he's like, no, it feels good. And then he's like, you know, he kind of does it a couple times. Then he kind of picks up the crutches. And then he takes an actual step. He's like, it's not hurting. So then, this was funny. So then he just like takes it and he starts pushing on it. He's like, oh my gosh. And so I'm just like, you know, I even know what, I'm just like, praise God, he loves you, he healed you. And he's freaking out. And I'm just like, I'm probably more surprised than he was because I'm, you know, wasn't expecting it. So, you know, he helps me and, you know, I don't remember what I said because I was so like, wow. So then I walked out to the car. I just started laughing because of what God had done. And it just showed me, like, you know, it doesn't matter how we feel. Like, if you see someone that's in need, just pray. Just, like, be obedient. Look at them. Just, God loves these people so much. And you guys have the Holy Spirit, like Pastor Blake was saying. You have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead living in you. And it's just kind of like stepping out in faith. Even if you don't feel it, just start stepping out because the world's let down and he needs all of us to kind of, to walk into that. So I just want to encourage you, even if you don't feel it, just walk into that because the world's hurting and we're all God's, you know, we're his hands and his feet and he loves people and he's the God of miracles and he can do miracles through every single person here.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand up. Let's stand up tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. He is so good. So good. You know, the goodness of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord is always with us. And he's a faithful God, and he loves us. And he's entrusted to us great things. And he's entrusted to us the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he's just looking for willingness, not professionalism, just willingness. And I just love the power of those testimonies. It's just a willingness to step out. And so let's make sure that we continue to do that. We got a song? Are we closing with a song?
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.